Ramsey TV.
To make myself clear at the beginning of this video, I am thankful for anyone who heralds the truth of the salvation of all. What bothers me is when the heralds of this truth can't say of me and others that they appreciate the fact that the person of Christ and the essentials of Paul's gospel are emphasized and made the most important aspect of all. Because without understanding the person of Christ, what Jesus Christ did, we cannot properly understand how it is that the salvation of all came about. I can accept and promote ministries that focus exclusively on the salvation of all. As long as within these ministries there is not criticism of those who would, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, starting with verse 1, I, coming to you, brethren, came not with superiority of word or of wisdom, announcing to you the testimony of God, for I decide not to perceive anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Not only the death of Christ, but the means of death, the crucifixion of Christ. Paul did not say, I come to you knowing nothing except the salvation of all. No, but Christ and Him crucified. That is what Christ did on the cross. And the essential elements of it. That is death for sin. But I find today that the ministries that are focusing on the salvation of all, they are for one thing above all else, and that is unity. That is getting along. That is not making waves. That is certainly not insisting on certain doctrines that will break people up. I said yesterday that I find these days that sentimentality, emotional considerations, emoting itself, seems to be the backbone, seems to be the fuel that supplies those who would teach the salvation of all to nearly the exclusion of all else. I mentioned some names yesterday of men that I love and respect, but of whom I may be practically and instructionally critical. I present my critique to be helpful because I don't want any of the saints to stumble in thinking that, as I've been saying, in thinking that the salvation of all is great of a truth that is the gospel. And also, I don't want the saints to stumble at a ministry or an outreach such as this one that takes a hard stand on Christ Jesus and Him crucified, that takes a hard stand on truths that belong to membership in the body of Christ, that is careful to distinguish things that differ, and whose goal is not to promote unity at all costs. But this is a trend I see. Even some of those in our circle, they want unity at all costs. They don't want to emphasize difficult teaching, such as that Christ died for our sins. It doesn't sound like a difficult teaching, I know, but to some people it is. Because those who promote the salvation of all at the expense of all else, they don't see why these other topics need to be gone into. They will endure controversy for that truth and that truth only. But in this, they're one-trick ponies, or they're one-hit wonders. But as I said yesterday, speaking for myself, I'm thankful to have had a well-rounded education in many aspects of Christ and Him crucified, one of which was the salvation of all. L. Ray Smith, I knew him. He was formerly of North Miami here. I wish he was still alive. I would be visiting him. We'd be having a good time. I came to know him in the late 90s, probably early 2000s. I don't know how I came to know him. We're both in the same work, Herald the Scriptures. L. Ray Smith was a strong teacher. I mentioned one time in one of my early videos on Zender Talk that I liked M&Ms. Well, L. Ray Smith would send me boxes of M&Ms. He was a funny guy. We talked on the phone for hours. As you know, he has written really awesome letters refuting people like Dr. James Kennedy. He was a great refuter of the teaching of human free will. In fact, back in that day, you know, he asked me to edit some of his letters, actually his epic letters that are on his site today, I'm assuming. And I agreed to do it. And the one thing, this is funny, a little anecdote for you. L. Ray Smith loved exclamation points, to the point that he would put literally 10 or 12 or 20 exclamation points at the end of a statement that he thought was particularly strong. Now, me as a writer by trade, I would tell him, right, you can't do this. It cheapens the whole statement. You have to say something strong. Make the statement strong. Don't artificially make it strong by adding 50 exclamation points. Well, he loved his exclamation points. But when I sent back his manuscript, edited, I took out all the exclamation points. All of them. Zender, I gotta have my exclamation points. Anyway, we ended up bargaining. I said, all right, listen. I'll give you 2 exclamation points in this sentence if you send me, you know, 2 bags of peanut M&Ms. It was something like that. It was funny. L. Ray Smith, great guy. But what we eventually had a falling out. Because why? Because he did not see the Gospel of Paul. He mocked the snatching away. He thought God was done with Israel. And, well, that's enough, isn't it? That's enough. L. Ray Smith, as great as he was in refuting human free will and refuting eternal torment, did not understand the specific Gospel of Paul. Gary Amaral, I met him in 1993. It was either the fall of 93 or the winter of 94. You may have heard the name, I may have heard it too, I just can't remember it. Who's the guy who wrote the book on the word ion? The world's most foremost scholar, Lewis Abbott, the foremost scholar on the word, Greek word ion. In 94, he was dying of stomach cancer, I think. And Lewis Abbott invited Dean Huff of the Concordant Publishing Concern to come down and look at his library. He wanted to give his books before he died to people who would love and appreciate them. This guy had a library. These books were worth probably tens of thousands of dollars. Some really old books, great study tools. Gary Amaral lived like down the road from Lewis Abbott. They both lived in Missouri. I think Lewis Abbott was in Stover, Missouri. So Dean Huff contacted Phil Scranton and myself to meet him in St. Louis. Dean was flying into St. Louis. I would pick up Phil Scranton on the way to St. Louis. Phil Scranton lived in southern Indiana. I picked up Phil. We got to the airport, met Dean. Dean jumped in my car. I think I was the guy driving, can't remember. And we went to Stover to meet Lewis Abbott, great man of God. And when we got there, Gary Amaral was there filming him. Gary Amaral made a video, and I will link you to it down here. I will link you to Gary Amaralt's video that he was making the day I met him. And you can't see it in the film, but Lewis Abbott, he was probably 2 weeks away from death. He has a tube going into his stomach. It's hooked to an IV pole. You really can't see it, but I met Gary Amaralt that day, and we became friends. Gary Amaralt liked the humor of the newsletter I was publishing at the time. I think he was the only guy attempting humor, so we fellowshipped around that. And then we would call each other through the years. But the one thing, we had a falling out too, because again, Gary Amaralt did not understand the distinction between the two gospels. His main thing, he wasn't even a two-trick pony like L. Ray Smith, free will, eternal torment. His whole thing was eternal torment. And very emotional guy, Gary Amaralt, Pentecostal. Hated the Concordant Publishing Concern. I shouldn't say hate, but he mocked, he made fun of it just like L. Ray Smith did, because we're too intellectual, you see. The Concordant Publishing Concern focuses too much on words. This was Gary Amaralt's view. Not necessarily L. Ray Smith, but Gary Amaralt. Oh, I forgot to tell you, I had L. Ray Smith to my house in Greenwich, Ohio. He came to my conference. I invited him. He was an expert on disproving evolution. So it's unfair of me to call him a two-trick pony. I'm sorry. It's not true. Very funny guy. Smart ass. Loved him. Loved L. Ray Smith. But boom, he could not tolerate the snatching away. He could not tolerate a distinction of Paul's gospel. But I had him come to my conference to teach on why evolution was a false teaching. He stayed at my house. We had a wonderful time. I wish he was still around, because here I am in Florida. He lived in North Miami, which is only about 20 miles from here. So, funny guy. Loved him. And he's instrumental in bringing many people to a knowledge of the salvation of all and of making people critical thinkers. He helped awaken people that there's something more than Orthodox Christianity. And that gives people the hunger to go on and to learn more. So Gary Amaralt, though, Pentecostal down the line. Unfortunately, Gary Amaralt died maybe a year ago, shortly after his wife died. His wife was a beautiful woman. I believe her name was Michelle. And those two were just inseparable. A real tragedy. It illustrates for you how a man clings to his wife. And when she died, he made a video that's absolutely heart-wrenching. He made a video after his wife died that, I don't watch it. I mean, unless you want to cry and feel like shit for the rest of the day. It's so sad. So sad. It's worth watching, maybe. I watched it. It's hard to watch. He died shortly thereafter. A great man. Tireless. Tireless. In heralding the salvation of all. Yet, absolutely unaware of the gospel of Paul. Unaware. Pentecostal, through every fabric of his being, every fiber of his being, speaking in tongues, the dead are not dead, feelings, dreams. That's why he mocked the Concordant Concern. He mocked me. He was a great critic of me in his later years. Didn't stop us from calling each other, talking to each other. There you go. People can disagree and have fellowship. Of course they can. But I'm not going to compromise. I didn't compromise what I believed. I didn't compromise how important certain words were, how important logic and intellectualness is in the pursuit of the truth, that God doesn't work apart from our minds. He gave us our minds. He renews our minds. He doesn't remove them. Gary Amaralt really didn't like that truth. Yeah, he liked the fact of having your mind removed and replaced with this wispy, emotional spirituality. This is what I am imploring us to avoid when we talk about Christ Jesus and Him crucified. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the chapter I'm dealing with here in a series, 1 Corinthians 15, I give over to you what I also accepted. Christ Jesus died for our sins, was entombed, raised the third day. That's what Paul doesn't say, I need you to believe in the salvation of all. It's true, he doesn't say, I need you to believe in two evangels either. Other places he calls his evangel, my evangel. But as we concentrate on Christ Jesus and him crucified, which he begins his letter to the Corinthians this way, 1 Corinthians 2:2, I decide not to perceive anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the element that will lead you to these other things. It will lead you to these other things. You'll find out about these other things. But we start there. We start there. This is why I must be critical and object partly to ministries that would put forward sentimentality and emotional pleadings and really bleeding hearts in order for people to accept that Jesus is the Savior of all humanity. Because when one puts forth sentimentality and emotionalism over a careful analysis of the truth, then that's what the foundation becomes, that. And everything is measured by how it makes you feel. And this push for unity today in the body of Christ at the expense of truth is based on how we feel. It's based on, are we hurting other people's feelings? It's based on, are other people hurting our feelings? And unfortunately, the emphasis in many of the Salvation of All camps is that, isn't it terrible that some people will be burning in hell for eternity? Isn't it awful? Would a God of love do this? These are all relevant, but it's the bulwark, it's the bulk of the argument. I really have to save Jerry Boschman, because he's a special case. He is probably has the book today that is the most influential in the world. Hope Beyond Hell. Probably the most influential book in the world right now, as far as the salvation of all goes. And I want to emphasize again that even while I'm critical of these men in certain aspects, I said yesterday, I've said this week, I said it today, I respect these men and I'm glad they're out there. But I'm afraid that the death of Christ for sin and Christ Jesus and him crucified is being lost. Because again, this is the foundation of Paul's gospel, and Paul's gospel itself is being lost. Because it's too intellectual, it's too cerebral. It's being lost for a sentimentality that is taking the forefront in trying to convince people that God is the Savior of all humanity. I'm not saying these men don't use Scripture. They do. They do use Scripture. But it's an emotional pleading. And again, it seems to me, I'll end with this, it seems to me, and I'm warning against this, that emotionalism and sentimentality, and I'm going to give you examples of this Monday. I'm going to link you to videos that I wasn't able to do today. I'm going to do that on Monday. You're going to see it for yourself. This unity at all cost is dangerous. Any push that makes unity and getting along with each other more important than Scripture is dangerous. And even in the salvation of all, which is one of the greatest truths in the Scripture, even if we are pushing that based more on an emotional imploring, an emotional pitch, even if we're doing that, I fear that it is at the expense, strange as this may seem, is the expense of Christ Jesus and him crucified. It is the person of Jesus Christ, his work, what he did, that we are to emphasize. And everything else will come out of it naturally. But we cannot allow anyone to compromise elements of that gospel, namely the Trinity. The Trinity compromises it. But the man I'm going to talk to you about on Monday, Jerry Boschman, doesn't care about that. And this is dangerous because it denies an elemental part of the gospel. What I mean to say, he doesn't care about the Trinity. I'm going to give you a specific example of it on Monday. And I'm doing it because this man is influential in bringing the salvation of all to people. But in doing so, he ignores the most basic elements of Christ Jesus and him crucified, all for the sake of an emotional unity. I'm sorry I have to do this, but we need to keep important things first, and we cannot let any emotional or sentimental considerations keep us from teaching and insisting upon the very foundations of Christ. Those foundations which themselves lead us to the salvation of all humanity.